Naturecast.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Feeling good. Because we're here, we're doing MTP. We're doing Missing the Point. Again, it's the second show of the week because we had to just go and talk about your Boston Celtics. And I want to answer the question today, Bob, the important question, the question everyone seems to be asking. I think we're the ones to do it. And the question is, was Grandpa Joe actually sick? And he miraculously got good. He miraculously got good the day Charlie had to go to the chocolate factory. He just got out of the bed and he fucking wiggled out his limbs. What was he doing the whole time? Quite frankly, I mean, that guy, he was just a layabout. He just didn't want to go to work.
What a question, man.
A damn Marxist or something. I think
that's a question that I think we could have an entire podcast on that question.
The real question.
Being honest. The real question. That is the real question. It really is, man. It really is.
I mean, the grandson's going to inherit the chocolate factory? Get out of bed?
Yeah,
This is bullshit. I demand a hearing. What about the other three? What's their disease?
There's four motherfuckers in that bed. I'm not just looking at Grandpa Joe. Now I'm looking at everyone else. What's going on here?
That looks to me, that has just formal conspiracy written
Four people got together
and they said, let's send our one daughter between the four of us to be a laundry washer. And then Charlie will be the poorest kid in his class. He'll only be able to afford one chocolate bar, and everyone's gonna fucking laugh at him. You know why? Because Britain is a classist society. Classist.
You know what I think we're creating here, DK, is a 4-part miniseries for Netflix.
We'll do each
each grandparent individually, ending with Joe.
We build up to Grandpa Joe, and
we do the backstories of everyone. But like at the end, they all intertwine into like some conspiracy behind the chocolate, bro. Come on. If Netflix pops this up, I want some royalties. Okay.
Let's get on the neti pot. One thing I do know for sure before we really try to answer these burning questions is that we are the music makers and we are the dreamers of dreams. Listen, Bobby, we're here to talk about the Celtics, okay? Get on topic, get focused.
I'm sorry, dude.
Because the real question of the week.
It's very us to start the show with a tangent. You know what I mean? Just dive right in head first to the tangent. I like it. I like it too.
I tried not to let Mad Dog get underneath my cockles as a Bostonian this week when he decided to say that Jason Tatum was definitively the 8th best player in the league. I tried not to go all Boston about it, Bobby. I tried not to be like, you think you're better than fucking Jason Tatum.
It's so fucking disrespectful, man. It's so disrespectful.
It felt like an insult right off the bat. It felt like an insult almost immediately. And then he started naming players. And I was good for about four of the names that he mentioned talking to Stephen A.
One of them strictly out of who he is, like as a player, not just as who he is now.
Right. Kawhi. So I think it's important. What we'll do is we'll frame this question. We're going to talk about the Celtics season as a whole. I want to definitely litigate the thing that Mike and I have been kind of going back and forth about with Ray this week. Got a little tetchy in the group chat this week. I don't know if you witnessed Mike and Ray kind of, you know, they got their nails out for each other for like a hot second. Now, I will say, like, Mike every now and again wants to just roll into the group chat and start a fight. He loves to do that. I do it too. You do it sometimes, but he really rarely gets Ray on the hook. And he had Ray mad at him, because it started out, and these are obviously our other co-hosts and our other wonderful content that we produce and put out to you every week. We do have another show with Mike Marcangelo out this week about the NFL free agency and various other football topics, but
it was really good too.
Just me and Bobby this week talking about the C's. I want to definitely address this, like, do the Celtics still have the same old problems narrative that we've been fleshing out? But before that, I need to find out who the top 10 in order best NBA players are. And I purposely didn't tell you beforehand that this is what we're going to do, because I didn't want you to have like a formal list prepared. I wanted you to do it with your gut feeling, because there's, awesome. As I started to look at it.
Okay.
8 might not be super far off. But I think that he named some weird players that are above him. That I'll say that to start off, right? Can we agree on number one overall best NBA player right now is Nikola Jokic?
That's exactly who I was thinking, yes.
So that's definitive.
Yes.
We don't need to really like parse that out. If you were to start an NBA team right now,
I mean, so it depends on like what your criteria is, I guess. Like if we're talking like basketball, but like correct to start a team around to win a championship today, he's got to be number one, right?
I think he's like kind of consensus number one, because however you look at it, like best chance to win,
right?
He's giving you your best chance to win right now, in my opinion.
Most impact
on a nightly basis.
Correct. Yep,
he's winning that. Hardest to guard, like least available matchups across the NBA.
Durable as fuck.
Consistent, durable. Most well rounded. He might win, to be honest, especially for his position, but maybe just in general in the NBA. Like he's at least an 8 out of 10 at everything. Everything.
Everything. Yeah.
He has circus shots. He has circus shots from outside the arc. He has maybe the best. He has the best passing I've ever seen from a guy his size. From a guy on the four upwards, I've never seen anyone be able to pass like that. Maybe when LeBron would play the four or the five, maybe. Because he was definitively the best passer in the league for a period. But he's right up there. Mm-hmm. And I think also his rim scoring ability, like he has all the things. He plays great defense. He seems like he's a good leader. He's a proven champion now. It's going to be really hard for him not to dominate the league for at least the next 4 years. So I'm going to have to say number one with a bullet. Now, there's some problems. Is like because this list only 3 years ago was very different. You know, I think
it changed really fast. It really did.
Yeah, it was very different. But I think that the second best player I'm going to name, maybe you'll argue, used to be number one before Jokic really hit. And that's Giannis. I say Giannis is still number two. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be, right? I mean,
well, I mean, the argument could be made that Embiid won the MVP last year, even though I didn't think
so. I have such a problem with him being ranked as high as, like, we'll get to him when we get to him, but no, you can't, no way can we put Giannis below Embiid. I want Embiid below Tatum if we're doing that conversation. But no, Giannis is number two. Yeah, we don't have to have the conversation. We don't have to force that one. Giannis is number two. We're good.
Okay. Positional sense, you know, defense, size in relation to his handles.
Right.
Scoring at multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if there was one huge flaw in his game compared to what maybe the superstars of the next few years is going to look like, he's not money from outside.
Yeah.
So I think everybody else in the top four at least is going to be money from the outside, but he's such a physical specimen. He's such a hard worker that I'm not going to be short-sighted enough to think, oh, they went on a little bit of a bad run. They fired their coach at a weird time. Like I'm still not looking forward to playing the Bucks in the playoffs. Like, there was a year, I forget it was, remind me, you'll remember, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where we went to seven with the Bucks, and I felt tired at the end of the series from watching Giannis, it like just in the paint against us for the entire series. Like, he just killed us in there.
That was the most stressful seven game series I've ever been through.
So stressed. I was exhausted by the end of it. Exhausted. And so was Giannis. That was the only reason we won that series, is because he got tired in the second half of game seven.
Yeah,
because
it was Horford.
Because we threw bodies at him.
But it was Horford and Grant got in his face a lot. He beat the shit out of him. There was a few different guys. Who else?
I don't think this current iteration of the Celtics team has the ability to throw bodies at a problem.
I agree with that.
I think that's like an issue, because I think that what they're betting on is that like their best guys are better.
Yeah.
And it's not a surefire bet. That's what's bringing me the worry. But anyway, we're not talking about them yet. I'm not putting Luka at three. I'm not doing it.
I couldn't agree more, man. I'm
not doing it. It's he's done more to not earn three than he has to earn it, in my opinion. Go ahead.
In my opinion, bro, this is where Tatum belongs. And I don't think that that's a controversial statement, like, whatsoever. I think in my opinion, again, this is the dude wearing a Tatum jersey who named his daughter after Jason Tatum. So without his girl's knowledge, you know, pitched it before. So I'm just saying that, like, yes, this is coming from a Bostonian.
She didn't know about Jason Tatum.
She knew about Jason Tatum, but when I pitched it, it wasn't as Jason Tatum. You know what I mean? It wasn't like
a diabolical. Diabolical. That's the only way you get that through. I was curious.
Tatum Rose. Tatum Rose. The middle name is Rose. So
hey, let me tell
Tatum
you something,
Rose
buddy.
Kelly, bro.
And let me tell you something, buddy. Let me tell you something. He sure did rise, my friend.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Okay, we can't put Tatum at three until you let me throw out the other potential candidates at this number, and we take pause, okay? Because it's my job to rein
hard
in
pause.
Enthusiasm. It's my job to rein in your enthusiasm on shows like this.
It is.
Joel Embiid.
No, not a fucking chance. We dominate it, bro. I don't care.
Tatum doesn't dominate it. Like, yeah, we kill the Sixers.
Okay, but we're
no one's saying it's because Tatum's better than Embiid, though.
But like a top 10 player in the NBA, like, I look at it as like you're most valuable to your team. You're the guy.
He's the MVP. He's the rating.
I agree, but what the fuck does that do for him? That's like saying, you know what I mean? Like, it's like it's not the right guy to compare him to, because Embiid's so much better. But like a Dak Prescott, who like puts up crazy numbers in the regular season every year, in contention, MVP candidate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying Dak is. I'm trying to – Aaron Rodgers. All right, there we go. Aaron Rodgers. You know, that in that candidate every single year. But, dude, for anyone, in my opinion, to put Embiid in that elite category, when the reason Tatum is held back is because he doesn't have a championship, but he has more finals appearances and more conference championships than Joel Embiid, and he's fucking 4 years younger, is the most blasphemous fucking crazy thing. I'm sorry for cursing so much, but it's the most crazy thing that, like, I can't take it. I literally can't take it anymore. Like, that comparison
logic,
drives me insane.
That logic,
it drives me insane.
If we used exactly your logic just there, just to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
If we just used that logic, and I know it's not your only point, but that just by that logic, Jimmy Butler should be number three.
Well, no, but so the impact on the game isn't as much of a chasm as what it is between Butler and Tatum. You know what I mean? Or Embiid and Tatum. Like, they have such similar impacts on the game on a nightly basis that Tatum's overall, you know, overall, I'm trying to think of the right word here. Overall career, I guess. We'll keep it easy.
Well,
overall
let's
career.
Let's think about it like this. Let's think about it like this then. Let's set parameters.
Okay. Right? Okay.
It's try to eliminate the bias as best you can. It's who you'd rather have on your team to win this year. So age, not a factor, but health a factor, right? Because it's like, if you're not healthy right now to the point where you can look like you can make a run and win this year,
right?
a factor. Current regular season record, not a factor, because that's the rest of the team too.
Mm-hmm.
So who would you rather? I'm going to name guys, and you tell me if you would pop Tatum out of the rotation and pop this guy in, and you have a better chance of winning a chip this year.
Sorry for going off. That Tatum and Embiid one just drives me nuts. You know it does.
I get it. Drives me nuts. I understand. And I'm going to pop him out. I'm going to pop out Tatum.
Go ahead.
And you just tell me if you're going to pop in this other guy, because I think we can agree if you were offered either Giannis or Jokic for Tatum, as it stands right now, you take both of those.
On this team, though? I mean, yes. I guess. Yeah, I would. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Jokic is too good that it doesn't matter if he...
Yeah, Jokic is a no-brainer. That's
it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And Giannis is also, unfortunately, a no-brainer. It's just, yeah,
but what about the age with Giannis, though?
Because it does. I just said age doesn't count.
Okay, you said because I didn't hear the age part. Oh,
it's
this
just
year.
To
okay.
win this year.
My bad.
It's just,
I didn't.
It's
okay.
just is it a guy that gives okay. you a better chance at winning this year's
this title? Specific year? Yes, absolutely, Giannis. Correct.
Okay.
My bad.
But health matters, and he is hurt, but he's going to play in the playoffs. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Facts.
Okay, Luka. No.
No. Nope.
SGA.
No.
Embiid. No.
No. That's what I mean, dude. He's three, dude. There's no one
Kevin
that you
Durant.
Can name. No. We already saw Tatum take Durant down 101
hang
in the series.
Hang on. Just by the parameters, just a chance to win this year. LeBron James. And the answer is yes. You take LeBron. You do.
Yeah,
you take
I would.
If it's chance to win, if you plug LeBron James in.
I think we're the only two Boston Celtics fans on the face of the planet that would actually admit that in a public forum.
I'm trying to win.
And let the world.
I'm trying to win.
I'm trying to
win a title for the Boston Celtics. I don't care.
Me and you both have such a respect for LeBron James that, like, I'm with
no,
you.
No, I hate
I think,
him.
I think I right, but I know what a machine that guy actually is. So yes, I would absolutely take LeBron James.
I don't even like thinking about this Faustian bargain that
me
I have.
Me either. But that's enough. Yeah, it's hurting my bones, to be honest.
Jimmy Butler, I take him.
Not taking Jimmy Butler.
I'm taking Jimmy Butler. Dude, come on. Think about it.
Right now.
Dude, think about it. Think about it.
Dude, not a chance. Not this Tatum. Not last year Tatum, maybe. Maybe I would think about it. Not this Tatum.
JB's
the Tatum
dog,
this year.
Bro.
The Tatum this year is a dog, man. Nah. Like it's close
Butler's
now.
It's a dog, bro.
Yeah, man. But like the things
this time
that
last
Tatum
year
had,
you would have taken it in a second. It's not that
yeah, probably. But the things that Tatum has added to his game this year is exactly what we wanted him to add. And yes, Porzingis helps a lot of that because he clears out the inside, but like that spin cut move to the basket that he has now that used to be like I don't know how many times every game I watch I see him do that spin move at the top of the key and I'm expecting that fall away jumper that he used to do and he cuts either left or right and has just easy layup, easy dunk, an easy pass to Porzingis. It's just such a different dude this year, man. It's still Tatum. Last year maybe, but this year, man, no.
Anthony Not Edwards.
True. I think that's a tie.
Yeah, I was.
Anthony Edwards.
He's great.
I really like Anthony Edwards.
He's so good.
Plus, he's just unbelievable. That Adam Sandler movie.
He's in an Adam Sandler movie. Oh, the one about the prospect.
Yeah, Hustle. Right,
yeah,
Hustle.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
I forgot
great
it.
Movie. The ending is so meta and so amazing that it makes me so happy to watch it every single time.
Anthony Edwards, like, I get the same feeling watching him play that I got in moments watching like that great D Rose season, and I think he has superstar like face of the league potential.
That's why I compare him and Tatum because they are the faces of the league. I know that's like a big conversation.
It's still
that,
LeBron like, though.
Well, right now I'm saying the future face. Like once LeBron leaves, those are the two guys that I guarantee
What about Steph? What about LeBron? What about
Steph's going to be gone? No, but like when that generation's gone.
It's weird that it's not going to be Jokic or Giannis or
they're two in between. They're tweeners, bro. You know what I mean?
Luka like failed his audition this year. I really thought like there was a world where Luka wasn't. He's like delighted to be the best player in that no chance Mavericks team. That's I think the problem everyone has this year with him, and like his game has become like. I just don't know if he has it in to win a championship. Like, I think he's anything, and I think he's fine with that. And that bums me out. I think it bums everybody out.
Yeah, it really does, man. And, like, especially because if he just had a little, he's a professional basketball player, and I don't think he's ever gone for a walk. You know what I mean? I don't think Luka Doncic has ever woke up in the morning and been like, you know what I want to do today? I want to go for a walk.
He looks like he walks real slow.
Real slow, right? Real slow all the time.
Kind of plods around his house. Yeah, like exactly. Cereal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He has that attitude on the court, and when he's on my TV, it makes me feel like I've inherited like an unruly teenager that lives in my house, eats my food, and is like mad at me, but for no reason. Like that is how I feel when I watch Luka Doncic play basketball now. It drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but I was incredibly high on him his rookie year. Like, I was like, this is the best rookie I've ever seen in my life. Like, the guy's fully developed. He's been playing with fucking grown men and, you know, in Europe, all this shit.
But before we talk, dump too much shit on Luka, like, at the same time, it's just like, if for 0% effort, he's scoring 34 points a night.
I know.
It's fucking.
But that's also like wild. It's such an inefficient 34 points because that team sucks.
Yeah, they're not. What are they? They're what, like 10th?
They've won like
West 34 right now?
Games or 35 games.
They're in the play-in right now, I think. Right.
That'd be fun. I mean, that Kyrie buzzer beater. Did you see that? He came around the elbow and just like did it with like his left hand. I feel like there was a collective like Boston fans being like, oh man. Oh yeah, he was really so good.
Yeah, we.
I think I was 3 years.
We've seen that. Do you remember that one, Dallas buzzer beater against us?
Yeah,
where he had that turnaround three.
Yeah,
that was fucking dope.
He's
that,
like
that was
so
one
clutch.
Of those where you just like, well, you can't even be mad at the end of the game. You're like, well, somebody, shit.
Somebody said like
you hit
first,
that
for yeah. The first thing I read was like some tweet where it was I think it was a player was like most skilled ever. And I was like, oh, man, who disagrees, actually? Like, I was like, wait, like, let me think about it. Like, most skill? Because you know the way Shaq gets, like, most dominant and everyone just understands, like, what that means? When you watch Shaq play, it was like, yeah, he was so dominant. Like, he won every one-on-one matchup at such a high level. It was so crazy. Like, I think you could say most skill because, like, anyone that's ever picked up a basketball and tried to put the round thing into the circular metal thing can tell you that going around the corner, like, left-hand push floater is insane. Like it's like he had to adjust his body so that he stomped on a dime and he shot to the right so that the momentum of his body like hit the basketball and carried it into the center. Like he corrected like a sniper, you know, with his weak hand. He was like, well, he was like up in the air and he was like, the wind is moving at 4 miles an hour. There's a fly flying across the face of the basket that's going to change it 0.2 centimeters. And it's not even like it like rattled in. Like he hit it like he knew he could hit that shot. And I was like, how do you know you can hit that shot?
This fucking makes no sense.
How have you ever been in that fucking situation ever?
Yeah.
He was like, what are you talking about? I hit runner around the elbow, turnaround, jumping floater, left-handers all the time. Rucker Park, baby.
That's what we do, man.
Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, those Uncle Drew commercials are great.
They really are. They really are, bro.
Do you remember me and you and Ray talking about him, like, very quickly after you left, where I was just like, guys, I know I hate him too, but he's such a baller, dude. Like,
who, Kyrie?
I
hate him, but he was so
he's so annoying and it's so annoying what he did, like how he did it. If you all have me, I'll be staying here. Like, Bubba, I'm unhappy.
And then the situation he said, bastards. Well, I guess. So my opinion on Kyrie has changed. This is a really cool line of tangent. I like this. This is
the
nice.
Moment we were ready to talk about Kyrie. Is like, yeah, it's so good. We're finally as like a Boston sports.
Yeah, it is,
you're finally ready to like talk to each other. Like, you're my therapist or I'm your therapist. And it's like, look, like, because I did say to you guys, like, it's hard for me not to love him as a player. But go ahead.
But yeah, no, he's really matured to the point where when you listen to him talk, you just hear a different vibe coming out of him.
We're not doing, he's never going to fuck up a team again.
No, he's definitely going to fuck up teams. There's no doubt about that, dude. Definitely going to fuck up teams. But when you actually hear him talk as a person, he's got a lot of good shit to say now. And like,
bro. Yeah,
Of life, about life, not about opinions about anything going on outside of the world anything like that.
No. I'll do basketball Kyrie with you, but I'm not going to give him. I'm not going to give him his redemption arc as a human being. He was like a full blown anti-Semite by this time last year. Like, you can't just come back from that because you hit that shot. Now, if there was a shot.
If it was on the Celtics?
No. If there was a shot that made it possible to walk back the biggest PR disaster since Kanye West, it was that shot. But I can't allow it. We can't.
But
he was a fucking disaster of a human being until maybe a publicist got a hold of him or something. He seems to be keeping his head down. I agree with you that he seems to be keeping his head down this year. It's his first non-weird year on a team since he won the championship with LeBron. I'll give you this. I'm not going to give you like, now we should listen to him. There's just
I'm not saying you should listen to him. I'm just saying if Kyrie ever kept it. So my full circle was going to be, it's crazy that we're sitting here looking at a list of the top 10 basketball players 2 years removed from Kyrie 100% being on this list. 100% he was on this list, right? 2 years ago. And now he's nowhere near the top 30. I don't think
years ago,
his, top 25.
2 years ago, his injury year in Brooklyn, is that 2 years ago?
So year before that, I guess. The last, the
I don't know, man.
The best year in Boston. So what, 20?
That's 5 years ago.
5 years ago? So 5 years ago.
100%.
100% on this list. There's so many guys that are like that.
5 years ago. I mean, you can say the same thing. Like, man, isn't it crazy to think if this was just 30 years ago, Michael Jordan would be
30 years is a lot.
On
all right,
5 years is a fucking eternity in basketball.
I guess the year before the COVID season.
The frustrating thing about it, Bobby, is that he's still good. He's still that good. But you can't put him on any sort of list because a list requires you to think about him three dimensionally. And the third dimension is that he's going to fuck up your team.
That's fair.
Dallas Mavericks.
It is inevitable. We've been here before.
They have the luxury of already being fucked up. So, moving on.
It's like the bad girlfriend, you know?
All that's to say, we're putting Tatum at 3.
Yeah. That went from Luka to Kyrie, back to Luka, back to Kyrie, and then saying Jason Tatum is number 3. That was good. That was good. I like that.
Think he's 3.
I enjoyed that roller coaster of a ride with you. I really did.
I'm so glad. I hope the rest of the fans,
The general audience did as well. Yeah, you know,
still here with us.
They definitely are. They enjoyed it too.
We don't have to talk about it anymore because we disagree with Mad Dog by the time we get to 3. Oh, wait. Didn't we say LeBron? So 4. Not 8, though.
Dude, 8's the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard. It's so disrespectful, man.
He's also 8 on Simmons' TheRinger.com top 100. And honestly, I don't think we should let him back into Boston.
So who's actually above him on Mad Dog's list? All the guys you said are above him?
Mad Dog's list, I don't know the exact list, but he said some outlandish shit. He was like Kawhi if he's healthy. And it's like, he's not healthy. Ever. When he needs to be healthy to win anything since Toronto, which was a billion years ago. So that doesn't count. I think he said Embiid, which I don't agree with. He said LeBron definitively. I think he might have said Steph.
It's just I just don't get it.
Like I'd probably still rather a 26-year-old Jason Tatum, young, hungry, trying to win a chip, a lot of pressure on his shoulders than even a 36-year-old Steph. I think I would.
I just don't understand. It's no one has ever been held to this standard. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. Is like no one has ever been held to the standard.
He's just a victim of his own success, man. That's what happens. He's getting Britney Spears. It's preseason. He's got to shave his head and start dancing around with his tummy showing on TikTok. It's inevitable. The people won't let you be great. They don't want you to be great. In order to be great, to really be great in this society, because of how awful the people that make up society are, you have to be undeniable. Undeniable. I've been a hater. I've been a naysayer. I've said negative shit about someone like LeBron James that has achieved more in my lifetime in basketball than I've ever seen anyone else do. I can talk shit like Michael Jordan this, Michael Jordan that, Kobe Bryant this, Kobe Bryant that. LeBron's clearly the most impressive athlete we've ever seen. Like, to me, it's him and Tiger Woods are the two best athletes of my lifetime. Like, those are the two most impressive guys that I've ever seen do their respective sports. And I'll be funny and I'll talk shit, but I was there. You know, I was at the game six where we sent LeBron home, and his last game for the Cavs before he went to the Heat. He took off the jersey. I was there. I watched. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. My head hurt because of how loud it was in there. I felt like we won that game for the Celtics with the crowd. Like, it was so
that guarded Wins loud, games. 100% that
it
guarded Wins games.
It was crazy. And I felt part of it. And I watched him storm out and I fucking yelled Boston fan abuse. Nothing racist, but you know, just like, get the fuck out of here, pussy.
Oh, it's so
fuck
awesome,
you. Fuck you.
Just yamming on him.
Just the crowd was just in unison. You know, it was so just good, like, man. And it spilled out. You know, it spilled out into, I always make the joke, like, you could go to the TD Garden a thousand times and you never leave by the same exit and you never end up in the same. On the same street.
That's true.
It's like Willy Wonka's fucking factory. Full circle.
Well, you do. Yeah, that was a good circle. That was good. I like that. That was a good one. They do now, though. The new entrance kind of ruined that experience.
Did they fix it? I haven't been back since they fixed
it. Yeah, it's dope now.
Because my favorite, and
it's like kind of Patriot Placey now, where there's like restaurants in the entrance and shit. Yeah,
because what you need for basketball arenas,
awning now, awning. Yeah, that's it.
What you need for basketball arenas, in my opinion, is like the way people shuffle into basketball arenas. You get the luxury of like people show up at their leisure, like people show up to football games. Like stadiums
hours,
but they've been in the parking lot and then they've all decided to come in at the same time. So you have to have like multiple line processing points. When you go to the Staples Center or whatever they call it now, the crypto.com arena, when you go to the Staples Center, your Uber drops you off and it drops you off anywhere around the edge of the Staples Center. And you're in walking distance to an entrance and the entrance is 50 fucking doors. And you're just like, people are like, yeah, come on through, buddy. It's so casual. It feels like an airport before 9/11. They're like, yeah, you're good. Do you have a ticket? Who gives a shit? Go in. It's exactly. Amazing. Yeah, it's in like basketball arenas. All you got to do is make a fuck ton of doors. You know, that's all you got to do. I don't forget where I was going with this. But I really like the Staples Center. So I'm glad they fixed the TD Garden, truly. But we were talking all this shit to LeBron James. He left. And that was my point. I was there. He was perennially great. I remember Tiger versus the field. I remember Tiger Woods versus everybody. And I remember LeBron versus everybody. And I don't remember that with anybody else. Because at the end of the day, like if you're putting Kobe above him in our lifetime, someone in our lifetime, we can't really speak to Michael. It's not fair. We didn't understand yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're putting Kobe above LeBron, I'm like, dude, did you see LeBron supporting cast a couple of those times? Like, did you see? There was like SNL jokes about it. Like, we're the other Cavaliers. If LeBron needs a towel,
that was
right
such
there.
A good skip, like, bro. That was such a good skip.
He was alone.
It was Keenan in the bathtub, bro. Yeah. And,
Oh my God.
No, that wasn't all that throwback. That just brought me back to all that. That's all that.
You want to throw back to all that? You need to watch that new documentary that just came out about how that guy was molesting all those kids. It's
crazy.
Apparently, Drake or Josh.
See, there's no limits. There's no limits to our left and right turns, everyone. We have left and right turns that you won't see coming. Don't worry. Keep going.
I didn't watch Drake or Josh. I wasn't a Drake or Josh guy.
That was past our time, though.
Past our time.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently there was some weird shit going on the Amanda show, and I don't love that.
I don't either.
You leave my girl alone.
It hurts. It breaks my heart.
Cheering for her because she's lost her goddamn mind, but I'm still cheering for her.
That's tough.
Have you seen her lately? She's out of her mind.
Yeah, she has. It breaks my heart. It really does. She was my first, bro. My first crush.
You lost your virginity to Amanda Bynes?
Yeah, I fucking wish. That'd be sick.
I mean, she was up there for all of us. Like, come on. We're all having the same experience.
Yeah, no.
All that.
Lots of sleeping bags.
You already referenced. I was there. The prom was great. So...
That came off the Cavs skit. That's what we were talking about.
We're all there to see him. So, are the Celtics? We have to have this conversation.
We gotta wrap this up by just saying Jason Tatum is absolutely
at least four.
Top. It's a blasphemous thing. All right, I'll give everyone three, but it's blasphemous to say he's not top five. Right, that's not a crazy statement.
Okay, we'll land on that.
Got it.
That's fine. Not eight.
Not eight. Not definitely not eight. Definitely not eight.
Okay, so in saying all that, the argument we've been having in the group chat. See what I did there by accident?
That was nice.
What we were discussing in the group chat is essentially this thing me and Mike litigated on one of the shows you weren't on, which was, are we sure that the things the Celtics do incorrectly when they catch L's in the regular season are things that won't tank another season just because they've lost way less games. I'm still very concerned about the last 30 seconds of a basketball game when it comes to this Celtics team and like the decisions that they make. Am I crazy? I mean, no, Joe Mazzulla has... Definitely, you know what I thought the other day? I'll put it to you this way just to get you started. Doris Burke said, Ime Udoka has that young team, make no mistake, playing really hard. She was talking about his current posting.
I know what she was talking about.
And I was like,
I agree. They're playing great basketball over there, man.
If Ime Udoka was still our coach, I'd be 100% sure we're about to win a championship.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I'm on board with that. We were always on that same camp together, man.
I don't mean to sound dour, but I still don't trust Joe.
Listen, I'm not dour at all. Not at all. And I think anyone that actually is 1000% overreacting, because this team is clearly the best team in the NBA right now. You watch basketball every single night.
I don't think we're better than the Nuggets.
You don't think we're better than... Well, I guess the other night kind of proved that. No, I think that was a tough night the other night. I agree. They look better than us for all four quarters. There's stretches where we looked more athletic than them, but, man, they looked like the better overall team.
I think we match up really badly against them, because I think we bully teams with our length, because we have length at every position.
And so do they.
Yeah, or, you know, they have strength over length.
That's true.
They have a scissors to a paper kind of a deal in some positions. I hate our one-on-one matchups against them, even though we've improved by having Porzingis and Horford able to kind of go at Jokic. I honestly think that those two are going to get tired before Jokic does in a seven-game series. I really do. I think he can like win that matchup. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, and I'm not saying it's not necessary to have this happen whenever you want to win a championship. I think it's more likely than it's going to sound. But in order to beat the Nuggets, they're going to have to show something in the finals that they haven't been able to do in the regular season, which is a tall order. But winning the championship's a tall order, you know? I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm really not. I think we have the players to do it. But somebody's going to, like, we always just track who goes up a level and who goes down a level at this portion of the season. Mm-hmm. Tatum always goes up a level after the All-Star.
Always. And he has. Yeah, he had a couple of stinkers.
Brown consistently cools after the All-Star break. And I think this time he's maintained.
He hasn't got up. I agree with that. He's
maintained.
I don't know if he's maintained because he had that stretch. I guess, yeah, his overall play for the entire season. Yes, he's maintained because he had that stretch where he was just unreal.
Right before the All-Star break, I think he was playing unreal, his best ever basketball.
Oh, he was so good before the All-Star break. But yeah, he's cooled off, but he's turned back into that.
He's 20, just super, you know, 18, consistent. 18 it's all
to 23
good.
Every single night. Right. Perfect. Yep.
Derek White, I think, has gone up a level.
Bro, Derek, I was just looking. So
gone up like maybe three levels on the season.
He's post All-Star break. Do you know? I'm going to throw this at you. Do you know who has the number one offensive rating, if we're talking like advanced metrics, all that stuff, in the NBA?
Oh,
number
shit.
One.
Really?
Number one offensive rating in the NBA.
So number three on our list should have been Derek White.
Bro, I don't know if you saw me like when you were talking at one point, but I literally like put my hands up. It's like, what the hell? Because I pulled that up, was like, are you kidding me? And do you know who is the number two net rating player, or actually tied for number one, is Derek White. So he is the most offensive player and has the highest net rating. Do you want to know who he's tied with?
Jokic?
Can you guess? It's not Jokic, bro. You're not going to believe who he's tied with.
Offensive rating. Hold on, let me guess.
No, not offensive rating. This is net rating. So this is net just rating. Overall, like, efficiency, defensive stats, per minutes played. So this could be a bench guy. It could be anyone that you see that is the most efficient shooter that makes impact in short minutes. I'm giving you some good clues here.
Oh, okay. Deion Waiters, the current Deion Waiters.
He is the Deion Waiters, and he happens to maybe wear this green jersey, and he just sprained his ankle the other night, and his name is Sam fucking Hauser.
No way.
Sam Hauser is tied for the number one net rating in the NBA right now, bro. I swear on my life. The top five net ratings in the NBA right now are fucking Boston Celtics.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
For all you advanced metric nerds out right there.
What up, nerds? I don't understand what he's saying, but it sounds cool.
There's people rubbing them out to the Celtics right now, just watching this team. Like, this is such efficient basketball.
You know, D-White's also got the most blocks of a guard.
Yeah.
In a while. So, hey, you know what? I think I changed my mind on Peyton Pritchard.
You're coming around finally, man.
I really liked his post game interview.
Finally,
after the Bucks, I really liked it. Like, he really put it, and I think this is fair, and I think you'll have to admit this is fair. He really put a bad taste in my mouth talking about his fucking contract when we were heading into a playoff run last season. It fucking annoyed me. He's like, well, maybe I should. I think I'm good enough. Maybe I should go try and get some minutes. I was like, not right now, dude. Shut up.
It's not time.
Shut up.
Yeah, time and place, bro. Time and a place.
But he's tiny. Also, this, I just have to like point that out. Like, I consistently, since we've been talking about basketball, since we were in college, I've maintained that you really just need to get the biggest, fucking tallest, longest guys. And if they're in any way good, you have such an advantage in a basketball game. And I'll die thinking that. So when little fucking midgets pop up and they're doing little, I mean, Isaiah Thomas took it. To be honest,
yeah,
for sure. Like, I was like, look at the fucking size of him, dude. I would just put, what did he come in someone's pocket? This is ludicrous. Peyton Pritchard is going to be a defensive liability at times in the playoffs, but I think he understands that he can make up for that with hustle. And I think he's a confident shooter and he seems confident right now. So I'll take it.
It's fair.
I'll take it. And shooter, he had a little bit of shooter, crazy shooter. In his eyes in his post-game Bucks interview. There was a little psychosis in his eyes. Like, he seemed like he was in, like, there was, like, his eyes were, like, two big pools that I was, and he just looked dead in the eye, like the worst guy to meet in prison. And the camera was pointing upwards at him, so it made him look taller than all of his 4'2" frame blinds. So I was like, oh, Peyton Pritchard, oh my gosh, and with the power of movie magic, we've truly made you into an intimidating figure.
But what's funny with that is, like, when you get those little guys that you don't see coming, like a Peyton Pritchard, right, when you bring them in the game, bro, you just don't know what to do with them when they come off the bench that hot. You know what I mean? You got no idea what to do. Right, exactly. And that's literally where I was going. That's
See, this is why this is perfect, because that's literally where I was going with that. That is the perfect guy to have in the playoffs, man. It really is, because it doesn't matter how many minutes Peyton Pritchard has played. That guy is a shooter, and do you know what shooters do, DK? Do you know what shooters do? They fucking shoot. And Peyton Pritchard will always fucking shoot, man, 100% of the time.
You know what?
And that's
funny.
That's the kind of fucking guy you need in the playoffs.
It's funny you say that, because as you said that, I realized something, a real truth, and it's good news.
What is it?
I feel the exact same way about Peyton Pritchard as I felt about Eddie House.
There it is, dude. Yes.
Genuinely like an equal concoction, equal witch's brew of reserved, impressed, and absolute, I fucking hate him so much. It was a 50-50. Of I despise when he does what he does, because it's around the percentage of when they went in. Like, to be honest, like, I feel like Eddie House took as many big shots that he missed that we don't think about because it didn't end up mattering, as he did big shots that he made.
Agreed.
He would shoot, and I would be like, you know how I think at this point, like, you know how my brain works. You can picture me watching the 08 Celtics and watching Ray Allen just like this. And Eddie House go up and shoot, and I would fire him that night. But you're right, shooters shoot. You have to understand that about these guys,
right?
And confidence makes them consistent in at the very least high pressure moments and low pressure moments, right?
Agreed, 100%, man. And it's so funny. So I have a couple things that you brought up, Eddie House. So that warrants an Eddie House tangent. I'm very sorry. What's the one game that you think of when you think of Eddie House? No matter what, bro. The one game I think of.
The Lakers?
The Lakers game. Yes, the Lakers game. Every single time. That one shot where he's coming down.
He went up so square.
so square. That's what I think of every single time, dude. But
his shooting form was like a 3D rendered, like, PlayStation 1 game.
It
would just go like straight up in the air like a fucking bunny hop.
NBA Live 01.
NBA Live 01 shot. That's what he had. It was before the simulation got really good. And the worst part was, like, watching Ray Allen shoot basketballs for the Boston Celtics or anyone except for the Heat. But watching Ray Allen shoot threes was such a sight. I was just espousing this thing with Leah the other day where we were watching the Bucks game and she was like half paying attention. And I was like, we, as the 08 Celtics, had so many good free throw shooters on our team.
It's the one thing that pisses me off about.
If you, God forbid, you foul Ray Allen, because that guy, all he does is think about shooting free throws. He goes, eats, sleeps, and brushes his teeth just thinking about shooting free throws. Paul Pierce had the longest streak of made free throws in the history of the NBA. Kevin Garnett, for his size, was incredibly
180,
high percentage.
180-something.
Sounds right. Sounds right. I think it got broken, but
where's Mike when you need him?
Yeah. KG, for his size, I think he was like an 86% free throw shooter. Like,
yeah, he was up there. Yep.
Rondo was trash at free throws.
His hands were so big.
But Rondo was such was a good, yeah, his hands were foot enormous. So I was such a good passer.
He's so fucking big.
They were crazy. Dude. They were like Mickey Mouse hands. Because, like, did you see LeBron?
Watching him shoot a basketball was the weirdest thing in the world. Because, like,
yeah. Or, like, that one night against Miami. That one night in Miami where they just hit everything. TV.
It was the entire series. What do you mean? It was that whole series, man.
Yeah, you know what the worst part about that series, but specifically that one game where he hit, like, fucking six in a row, is I was like, his shooting form looks different. He's not even shooting his same shot. He's shooting like a good looking shot too. Like, it's annoying. I'm like, you knew how to do this? And then there was that horse game. You remember the horse game where he was just like hitting it from the bleachers?
Yes.
He played against somebody. It's like some veteran, I think. And he was like young and he was hitting crazy circus shots. And I was like, honestly, Rondo, you don't care enough. LeBron the other day was like, Rondo, I'm so surprised he's not a head coach. And then he was like, I just don't think he wants to fucking deal with it. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, you got there.
He definitely doesn't
want to
fucking do it. Are you kidding me? Rondo. What do you mean?
Also,
you're surprised he's not a head coach, bro. They kicked him off the Dallas Mavericks because he didn't. They literally kicked him off the team.
Also, are we 100% sure he had a super high IQ? Or is it just like if you and I were playing basketball with a fun-sized basketball? Like, this is where it's just like I'm just whipping in a hacky sack into the fucking with hand size comparison.
Playoff Rondo.
Him and KG had the same size hands.
But
he did. They did. Yeah. It was like proven.
That's a real thing.
What,
not sarcasm.
That's a real thing. Someone told me that, and I chose to believe it forever. So I actually don't know. Now that I think about it. I did say it like it was a fact, and then as I was thinking about it, and I was like, how do I know that? And I was like, not from an academic source. Someone said that like it was a matter of fact to me.
Was it yourself that said that? Was it you?
Could have been. I've been a lot of different people over the years.
Might have been you.
I guess we didn't really dive too deeply into this because Ray or Mike weren't here to have a real knockdown drag out fight. But are you worried about those same mistakes? Are you worried about them out of the whistle? Are you worried about them in mentally tough situations still?
So
you saw the conversation, right? It's like, how loud are the losses to you? Like, how bad do they look? How loud is the loss against Denver? You know,
so this is where we're going to bring it back full circle for everyone. All right. So, we just talked about all that free throw, Rondo, all that stuff. The only thing that worries me about this team is the biggest thing that made that team so good in the clutch and so easy to trust down the stretch is the fucking free throws, man. I don't trust our best players except for Holiday and Kristaps.
Well, that's not true. I trust JB to miss. At least.
That's what I'm saying. It's
two of the most important free throws of a series.
And Tatum's guaranteed to miss after making 13 of 13 on the night. He's guaranteed to miss that 14th free throw in the fourth quarter with a minute 30 left. It happens. It's inevitable, man. So that's the thing that worries me.
In clutch situations when I'm emotional and I'm by myself or I'm with like not other Celtics fans, I quietly in the wee dark hours when he complains about getting fouled on his way up to the basket, I'm like, well, you weren't going to make them anyway, dude.
Right.
So, yeah. They're clutch. Like, we would really need them. So, you're going to fuck one of them up at least. So, who gives a shit? That's how I think about it. And that's damning. Like, maybe I'm wrong. But it just scares me. This is, like, what I was trying to say to Ray the other day. It scares me. Their problems are still their problems. Like, I just think there's still ways to get at them. And the fact that we weren't able to beat the Nuggets even a little.
So I'll play devil's advocate for you. So that Bucks game, right? I just rewatched the highlights before we
no
got
Giannis,
on.
No Giannis.
I know there was no Giannis, okay? But that ending, I understand the panic and seeing those old mistakes because they absolutely...
No, that I didn't mind. I actually thought they won ugly, and I think I like when they're able to do that.
But the way they held it together at the end to me and the way that they were able to put it away was what was impressive, where it wasn't panicking and going into hero ball and clinging on to life and just happened to hang on to that fucking game. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that, like it was in past years. They went back to the wheelhouse. They went down low to Porzingis. Porzingis had a sick play down low. Tatum had a couple drives.
Oh, when he went, when he did the spin.
The spin, dude. That's man. That shit was wild,
sick.
Bro.
That was sick. How you do that at that size?
The rebound from Porzingis. That's the stuff that last year was driving us nuts. Those offensive rebounds for the past 3-4 years, and it feels like he kind of shored that up.
I also think just generally with him on the team, but also with the size of our guards, I think that we had a non-existent post game. We did not have the ability in past seasons to go to the post.
Agreed.
And sometimes, we're going to deal with it. We're going to compare them to the 08 Celtics. This is the last time I won a fucking championship. Okay. I know what a fucking championship team looks like because of them. Right. Like, I know what my team looking like a championship team looks like. But do you remember when we would need to calm the game down? Because how much did we hate of the past 3 years? We hated the you got to waste clock Celtics. That was our least favorite version of the Celtics. It was like, you got to take the whole shot clock but then also score. Right. That was the thing. When we wanted to play like that against anyone as the 08 Celtics, and granted, this was actually a much more important thing then because of the score lines and like the way that the game was played. But we were literally able to do one of four things. And the first best thing we could do is watch KG go to the top elbow.
Yep.
Put his hand really high.
I already knew where you were going, bro. 100%.
And Rondo would just float it really, really high in the air. And KG would catch you one-handed. And it wouldn't matter unless it was Tim Duncan. It wouldn't matter even a little bit unless it was Tim Duncan. It wouldn't matter at all unless it was Tim Duncan who was guarding KG. He would just be able to walk them down far enough away from the basket that he wasn't going to take on a three in the key or like anything, any bullshit, right? He'd be able to walk him down. And then he would turn around with the longest turnaround jump shot in history. And it would, I don't remember it ever not going in. I hear stories that it didn't go in a few times.
You know who it didn't go in against?
The Lakers?
Tim Duncan.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. But not in any sort of like playoff run scenario. Like he was always able to hit that shit like until that injury.
Always. But, or if it wasn't, they at the beginning of the game too, they would do the same thing and he wouldn't shoot it. He would just hold it there.
Yeah,
just kind of hold it up.
Because he could play make from there. He was an early iteration of it.
Oh, he was he was great at that.
And then
he was like that first Jokic.
Yeah. The issue I always had with that move that we're talking about is like Rondo was never able to get back into the play. Like his off the ball, if he became like the third option after being the first option, he was done. But what really covered it up was Ray Allen had maybe the single greatest off the ball season in the history of the NBA. Like the way he ran baseline to baseline, like the way that he got open, it was all hustle. He was older, but he was running more than anybody on the fucking team. And he would just get open. And so Rondo or whoever was able to just wait and just watch Ray Allen just run circles around the guy that was trying to guard him. And he would just turn around and put up the quickest release you'd ever fucking seen. So we were able to, as that team, decide what second we shot the ball at in the shot clock. And there was a good chance that it was going to go in. If we're talking about advanced analytics, that's what I want to see from the team. I feel like the problem with this iteration of the Celtics and the thing we need to figure out is that the shot clock controls them. The game clock controls them, you know, and the game clock and the shot clock indicate their behavior. But that old Celtics team, we used to tell the clock how to benefit us, right? And, Mike can talk shit about the fucking, about Doc Rivers all he wants. Like, Doc was all in that season, dude. Like, he was just a guy that once he went and won a championship, he was like, okay, well, at least I know I can do this for a living. And he never really had that same hunger again. That's okay. If you ask me, he went and won it. He was like, all right, I did it. I like hanging out with my family.
That's what made that team special, which is what, in my opinion, makes this team special and makes it a different feeling than we've had in years past. What did Doc make that team? He made him a fucking family, bro. Like you say, he wanted to go be with his family. Like that was his family that year.
I'm happy with our locker room right now.
Right. It was Ubuntu that year. Like that was the whole thing. And they were so bonded. And like
when they hung out with each other. Yeah.
Right. When they traded that's when everything fell apart. This team has that same type of feeling. Like when you talk to anyone,
except for the fact that if one piece got traded, they wouldn't give a fuck right now.
And if it was one of the star pieces, like it was that a starting five,
Kendrick Perkins was a star piece.
He was a key cog of that machine, though, man.
I don't.
That was one of the reasons we lost that goddamn series, and they admit it to this day.
It was, but I say we didn't build our team properly if we were depending on Kendrick Perkins to win us a fucking chip.
Well, when you have KG's knees, you were. But anyway,
well, we didn't know about that, did we?
Yeah, man, that's fair. Well, we did in that goddamn fourth quarter. You could fucking tell.
You know, I watched that. I watched him go down.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I watched him go down in that Magic game sitting next to a Laker fan that I was like really good friends with in his dad's shop, in his dad's like shawarma place. And we were just talking shit back and forth with each other. We smoked a blunt out the back. We came back in and we would just like make sandwiches for people and watch the basketball games. And shawarma sandwich is so fucking good. I would eat like four of them a day.
And bomb, bro.
I watched him. I was sitting right next to him. Shout out Izzy. I was sitting right next to him, and he was like, "Oh, KG's fucking done, bro." And I was like, "God damn it, dude! No fucking way." That 2010. Obviously, you know what I'm talking about. All right.
Of course I do. Yeah.
So what? You think they're fine because they're all buddies? You think they're fine? They're gonna win a championship because they're all friends? I don't know, man.
No, I don't think it's the fact that I just think that these are all so. I'm looking at the big picture here, right? So I'm looking at everything, bringing all the pieces together.
and really looking at everything as the full picture instead of just like in past seasons where it was like, well, we got this thing and we got this thing, we got this thing, but we're missing these key ingredients that make a championship basketball team, because we all know how goddamn hard it is to win an NBA championship. That run is so hard. You need so many things to go right. So many guys to step up, you know, bench players to do this, reserve guys to do this, this guy to play this role, this guy to play this role. Someone's going to get hurt and someone's going to have to step up. Like, all these things have to happen for a team to win a championship, right?
This well, team now I feel even worse.
But this team to me is the first
one. They have
one
to do all that stuff in the playoffs, dude.
But this one to me is the first one that actually I feel like has a chance to actually put all those pieces together.
That's objectively not true. You fully have me convinced we're going to win a chip when we lost the Warriors. You think we have a chance every fucking year.
That's not, I didn't think we had a chance last year.
Oh yeah, that's fair. That's actually completely fair.
Definitely didn't think we had a chance. I was off this team's ship last year so fast. They were so
I was literally at an all-inclusive resort in Hawaii when I watched the Celtics Heat series, and I watched them lose. I watched them come back. I was there the whole time. And I was the most miserable person at that all-inclusive resort. Like, I really cast a really dark shadow. Everybody else was having a great time. And I was just they started to come back.
The energy was just off. Yeah,
When they started to come back, even though they came back three games, and I was like, maybe they'll be the first team to. No, I knew. They shouldn't have been in that position in the first place.
I remember that. I remember it was the most negative I've been in as a Celtics fan in so long. After that game six, we won that game six, and I was still like, "They're gonna if any team's ever gonna lose game seven after coming back from
the hard." The game six was the hardest.
It's this fucking team, bro. It was that team. But this team is literally the exact opposite, in my opinion.
To be fair, I mean,
different for sure. Could be proven so wrong.
Those guys were not getting coached, though. Like, those guys are not getting coached. There was no coaching.
There was no coach. You're right.
There was no staff. Joe Mazzulla was panicking. Like, it was just a different, you know, it's a very different situation, at least in the coaching. So anyway, that's it. I don't know. I'm nervous. Tune in to Missing the Point for all your Celtics coverage. We're firing out a ton of free agency coverage because it is juicy.
It's super juicy.
It's depressing to talk about the Red Sox. We might talk about the Bruins soon. It's a topsy-turvy time. But going into the summer, we're going to have a great time talking about this Boston Celtics team. Are my worries founded or no? Is Bobby's optimism founded or no? Tune in to the games, I guess, to find out. But then listen to us talk about them afterwards. For myself, DK Sizzle, for the real BK Bob Kelly, this has been Missing the Point.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electric Acid.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed Podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed Podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Electric Acid.